The Pinball Network is online. Launching
Triple Drain Pinball Podcast.
Tom, wake up.
Oh,
Tom. Tom, wake up.
It's a busy weekend.
Guys, it's episode 49. 49. We're one episode away from 50.
It's almost my age.
Yeah. I don't know your age, so I'm just, I don't know if you're high, low, I don't know where you are, but you don't look a day over 26, so let's
see. Thank you.
Yeah, episode 49, this is going to be a little bit of catch up. It's been a month, so this should be good. Travis's camera's already died once, and
I fixed it, it's fine.
It'll happen again, but Tom, you feeling good? You ready to go?
I think so.
Great.
I think I'm okay. Good.
Travis, you feeling good? You ready to go?
I know I am, Joel.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
We're three guys who like to talk pinball. So we came up with a clever name. We're Joel and Travis, down who talk pinball. And we call ourselves Triple Drain, Triple Drain, Triple Drain. We're Triple Drain.
We are here. This episode's either going to be great for everybody or very awkward because we're all going to be looking at the camera.
That's how you're starting this out. It's either going to be great or it's going to be awkward.
So we all have, I just want to give a huge shout out to our Patreon supporters. I was able to get an Elgato prompter. So I'm staring at the camera, just like Travis, just like Tom. So I don't know if this is weird or if it's really enjoy. I don't know if you love it, but for the video listeners, you're welcome. I don't know. Hopefully this is cool. For the audio people, it's going to be the exact same for you. Yeah. So thank you to all the people that support us on Patreon. Very much appreciate that. We have a lot to cover tonight. We have a lot to cover. But before we, the main thing is just TPF. What are we excited about with TPF? And before we get to that, there's two subjects I want to cover, which is the latest games we've been playing. Tom, right behind you is a Jaws LE. Last time we talked,
oh yeah,
the LEs were not out yet. And nope. I know I had played a pro, and I think you had played like two games on a pro, and Travis had played a pro. So I'm very curious to hear, now that you've had Jaws LE for a few weeks now, initial impressions, because you've owned every other Keith Elwin game. So how are you feeling about this? Where does it stack up? You know, initial thoughts.
It's freaking awesome. I mean, honestly, I love the game. I like the features of the LE better than the Pro.
Okay. Specifically what?
The shark that comes out of the playfield.
Yeah.
That you have to bash.
Yeah.
And the mini playfield.
So I have not experienced either.
And the drop targets.
Oh, I will say, on the Pro, I think they've done a good job with lights trying to show what you've hit or what you haven't, but it's pretty hard to mess up a drop target. It's pretty clear what you've hit and what you haven't and whether or not you need to do it again or whatnot. So I think the drops are key, but I know talking to Elizabeth Gieske on some of the code stuff, she always comes back to like, I think this is better, or I think this is easier to do on a premium, because apparently the reel in the upper on the upper boat like helps. There's like, what is it? Reel awards, or there's something else there. I remember her saying something about when you go to catch a shark, that upper play field helps in some way. Travis is shaking his head like he knows what I'm talking about. What is that way? How is that helpful?
You hit a shot that's lit up there and that helps you get the shark.
So you just are saying,
thanks for coming to my TED talk.
So you're just saying it's because there's more shots up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certain, it helps you in certain modes. There's just extra stuff to do up there because you got your lookout tower or whatever it's called. That's like by far one of the coolest shots I've ever seen in pinball, just point blank. The first time I did it, if you have kids around, I apologize, but this is how excited I was. I literally texted Tom and I said, holy fuck, this shot is amazing. Like, I just stopped what I was doing. I didn't even finish my game or my ball. I just immediately was like, holy crap. Because you've seen it, but when you talk about kinetic satisfaction.
Which shot?
The lookout tower shot on the on the upper play field. I know, because you're a lowly peasant and you've only played the pro, you have no idea what we're talking about.
On the upper play field, there's three shots. There's a stand up, there's a shot that leads to the ramp, and then there's the reel.
There's a ramp shot. Yeah. So let's, Tom and I, we can kind of, and Tom's probably played this a lot more than I have, so he can dig into this more. But that upper play field, that mini play field, there's actually a lot to do up there. And there's a lot of different things because you have three different exit points, right? So if you don't use the upper flipper at all, it'll just sail right by and it'll come back out in the middle of the play field, right? You got some chaos that way. Or
it sails directly across and then feeds the mini flipper, right?
No, it just goes to the middle of the play field. It drops it back down.
Just dribbles down.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say it just dribbles down. It'll go into a slingshot depending on how your game's set up.
Okay.
But you can also hold that mini flipper up and that'll make it skip or ski jump over onto a wire form. And that wire form is what will bring it back to the mini flipper.
Okay. So if you do nothing, if you hit the wave ramp and don't react quickly or don't do anything,
it'll just come back into the middle.
It just drops down. So it's dangerous. Yep. You have to pay attention.
You have to engage the flipper. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can either ski jump or you can hit, I guess you would just call it the Orca wheel, I guess.
Okay.
Or something like that, that spinner up there or that spinning wheel. So you could hit that. And what's cool, it does a mini figure eight real quick. And it goes back onto that same wire form we were just talking about that you could ski jump over.
Okay.
Or you can hit the ramp. And that's what will basically just shoot it back down a wire form. And then it'll do a reverse up the quick shot multiplier lane.
That's right,
the left
side.
Yep. Yeah. And then it'll come back and feed your left flipper. And that's the shot that I was just like, holy crap, this is amazing. And as soon as I did that, it legitimately sold me on, I'm going to get the premium at some point. It may not be this year. But at some point, I'm just like, I have to have this game in my collection just because of that single shot.
Are sales too low? You're not going to get that Christmas bonus there.
Let's just say I'm thankful Jaws came out. It's been doing pretty well.
Okay, so I know that far left shot, which is, we've talked about this before, even on the pro, you know, where it would, like on an orbit normally. I remember when I saw the reveal, I was like, well, that shot looks kind of lame. Like it just was straight. It just didn't seem, and my initial impression of the shot was like, Keith couldn't do anything more creative with that area. Like it just, I wasn't impressed by it. And then once I had the game,
how dare you talk about Keith?
I know I was, it was a poor judgment. Okay.
You saw the messages. He even told Keith that.
Okay. So
he was just like, wow, yeah, I could do better.
I see you gave up on the left side of the play field. That's what I told him. So when you hit that though, especially when you hit it with the mini flipper, the speed at which that thing does the 180 through a spinner and then rockets down at your left flipper. And then you have to do, you know, the quick shot. There's a whole bunch of stuff with that. But you're saying now that you're feeding that with the upper flipper, does that ramp actually add more speed to the ball because it's rolling around that ramp and then shooting up the play field and back down? Or is it a slower shot when it comes off that kind of ramp? I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's super fast and I wouldn't say it's slow either.
Okay.
Like it just feels like a naturally good shot. That's, you know, that's just pretty amazing in my opinion. Anyways, just the way that it is, the way that it shoots and the way that it feels. And I'm sure that there's other copies there that maybe that feed isn't perfect to the left flipper because each copy is just its own unique little snowflake situation. But you know, on the copy that I have though, the feed is perfect. Tom, what about you? What about that shot for you?
I don't know. I'm looking at my color GI.
What? He's just playing with his game right now. He's just messing around in the background.
I don't think it's as bright as other games for some reason, but because I saw a premium at Lumberjack Johnny's and I was like, wow, that looks a lot brighter than my game. Anyways, go ahead and talk about what you're talking about. I'm admiring my Ellie.
Well,
we asked you, so for all the listeners that tells Joel and I that we don't let Tom talk enough, we're trying to let Tom talk immediately.
He's like, yeah, normally I just sit there and maybe say four words, and now we're asking him a direct question. He's like, no, talk amongst yourselves. I'm busy no touching comment. My LE.
No comment. I know we're recording a podcast.
If you had an LE right now, you'd be staring at it too, Joel.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a Tom 2.0 right here. He's got the goatee, has over 1,000 viewers watching his stream of Nationals and Penn Masters. And he's like, I'm good. I don't
Fox
need you
City
two
success
bozos.
Is going to his head. That's what you're saying.
I couldn't fit my head through the door.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to make the doors bigger at District 82, not for the streaming rig.
Good but thing for I Tom's had head. All those really yeah. good players there to record. Yeah. Yeah.
So okay, the shot, so, Tom. Do you like the shot? The lookout tower shot?
Yes. Yeah, okay. It's extremely cool. Like Travis was saying before, it's just when you first hit it, you're like, did that just happen? Like it just kind of comes down and then it I don't know, what do you call yeah. that, like does a
loop-de spin, a 180 loop.
Yeah, it just does like a reverse 180. Whoop. Yeah, and it comes back.
It's like a roller coaster. Yeah. It's like a roller coaster awesome. effect.
Yeah. Yeah, you think about where the actual ball, if you track the ball path between the wave ramp, the way it zips around there, and then it kind of S's through the upper play field to slow the ball down and then whips around a ramp to then squiggle back. I mean, it's quite a path that ball's taking.
Any fears of a mini play field are like completely gone on this game. I mean, your ball is not up there for more than 5 seconds.
Okay. Cause you basically have time to not react and the ball falls off, or ski jump with the mini flipper and it's down, or you have like one shot at a stand up, the Orca wheel, or that ramp. That's
going to be the Escher challenge. Escher, how long can you keep that ball up on the mini play field?
You can't. Well, I mean, everything you shoot, it's done.
Yeah, if you make
right?
a shot, yeah, that's the cool part about Pretty it. Much. If you successfully make a shot, it's leaving the play field. Like, and if you brick it, it's probably going to leave the play field too. You can kind of like slap the ball around a little bit, try to get control, but.
Well, that's cool. I'm very much excited to play it at TPF. I'm sensing this game's going to be a lot like Godzilla, where I borrowed a Godzilla Pro and had a lot of fun streaming it, just like I had a lot of fun streaming Jaws Pro, but I haven't placed an order for anything because I was like, I really need to experience the premium. I want to experience the premium. I want to see what it's all about. See if it's worth the additions, but everything I'm hearing, it is. You know, Tom, you watched all the stuff that we did. Was there anything else about the LE that surprised you when you first played it? Whether it was a shot or, you know, I don't know, the speaker lights, are those amazing? Like, what, anything like that surprised you that you weren't expecting?
Oh yeah, the speaker lights are amazing. No, nothing else.
No, everything just met expectations. Cool. Well, cool. I didn't do this on purpose. This was not but if you look behind me, my wall's on fire. This is the speaker. Yeah. This is Dan at Penwoofer figured out how to tap into those lights. And so now I have that on the back wall, which is pretty sick. That kit will be on Musel Mods in a few weeks. So if anybody has the flaming frames, go to Musel Mods and you can extend that onto your wall in the floor of your game room. It's pretty awesome. I'm waiting. I really hope that the speaker lights they put in Jaws stern sells as something you could add to the premium, because the premium and LE run the same code. So the code's there. So it's just, I'm guessing, you would just need this the light kit ring. Well, actually, now that I think about it, the speakers in a premium are totally different. So it'd have to be a metal frame, a bigger speaker, a light ring, and a node board.
I'm hopeful it just stays to the LE. It looks really cool, but I'm hopeful it just stays.
I want
that because that is a good selling point.
It is
for future games to keep it there. But yeah, I mean, overall, seeing the LE in person, it's a beautiful pin. Like, no doubt. I didn't know how the white would work, white trim, powder coat, but it looks really good in person.
Yeah, you're modeling it well, Tom. I hope if you're listening to this in the car, stop it and go watch YouTube just to see
for sure
Tom in front
now,
of his
Charles
Ellie.
I will say I do have one complaint about the game, because I don't want this to be all like roses, you know, rainbows and unicorns and butterflies and everything. And I'm sure Tom might have experienced the same thing. I'm sure other listeners have experienced this. I am dealing with issues with the shark, with the ball going with the shark.
Oh, so it does eat the ball.
Kind of. But the thing that's happening is, it's not really, to me personally, if you're just playing the game at home, it's not a big deal, right? You lose a ball, it ball searches, it comes back. My concern is I noticed that this was happening a lot whenever I was in multi-ball.
Okay.
And then, of course, so if you're playing a premium or an LE on location somewhere in a tournament, it's highly likely a ball will get stuck there during multi-ball.
Dirty pool, man.
Yeah.
Is well, there the any...
I'm wondering, I don't know if it's even possible to do anything with that, but I know that happened to me a couple times when I was playing. I realized that the ball was gone. And then it dawned on me, wait, the shark's gone too. What's going on here? And
that counts. You technically would need to cradle up and hold your hand up.
Technically, or like, you would have to, yeah.
Because you're not allowed to store a ball, right? Like you're not allowed to.
Under most circumstances, some it's okay. Like Attack from Mars, that's okay. Spider-Man, not okay. I imagine Jaws, probably not okay.
Well, but, is there any
that's
virtual,
just something to be aware of.
Is there any, I'm assuming there's virtual options for the shark? Because I would assume
I would think, like I said, a home user, not a big deal, right? Just is what it is. Ball will come back out. Not a big deal. But on location, I would think the thing you would want to do is probably have it be virtual for that reason and just leave the ball. But
for a tournament.
Yeah, so if somebody puts some quarters in, shark eats their ball, that's fine. And everybody's happy, right?
I think I mentioned on the last episode,
but
my wife played Jaws when I had it, and she did it by herself. She had gone down there. She just came up and was like, that's one of the best pinball machines you ever had. And what blew her away was the fin and that whole moment of shoot it now. She thought that was the coolest thing. So if I do get the premium to stream, I'm not going to tell her about the shark. So I want to see if like the shark popping up gives her a similar, you know, surprise or satisfaction in that kind of mech. I do know
shark is cool, but I will tell you, Joel, and I can't speak for Tom. I'd be curious what Tom's opinion is. I will say that the shark coming up is probably maybe 3 or 4 down the line for me, for like what the cool parts are to this as a premium, because the upper playfield, I'm shocked at how good that upper playfield actually is. Like I didn't know how I would like it. But I was thoroughly enjoying it. I was just like, oh my God, this is actually a lot of fun. And then the fin target, of course, that the pros have, that's just fun to do. And the quick shot, that's a fun shot as well.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of kinetically satisfying options for this game. And when you add the upper playfield on, my God, the combos that you can do and that you can pull off, that's what makes the game fun. You don't even have to know the rule set. You just watch the ball just whip around everywhere. To me, that's fun. That's what makes pinball fun. When we talk about pinball moments, you're making that happen. That's pretty cool.
So that actually, it leads me to two questions. One, this is kind of a side tangent, but a local collector where I'm in a group of a few of us that we all live within about 20 minutes of each other's house. And we all range different skill levels, different sizes of game rooms. You know what? One thing.
Different types of golf carts.
Yeah, one of them, my buddy actually reached out to me when we were talking about our conversation a few weeks ago about like casuals versus this. And he said, one term you guys need to start using is pinball enthusiast. He goes, I don't care about like, he's like, I don't really care too much about whatever. Like he doesn't get crazy deep into code, but he's super into modding his game. He's just an enthusiast. He's not a casual, but he's not a tournament player. He's not an expert player. It's just like, he just calls himself an enthusiast. I think that's cool. So you have him, that guy, very large collection, loves modding his games. But, I'm an enthusiast.
Everybody's an enthusiast.
Yeah.
Like literally everybody. If you're watching this, listening to this, or you play pinball, you're an enthusiast.
We're kind of asking each other, we're like, well, what's the goal? What's the goal of your game room? And one of my friends basically said, when he reviews games or looks at games, he's one of these guys, he just puts a ton of games on his machines. He's not necessarily an incredibly good player or bad. It's just like, go, go, go. He came over to my house to play Jaws, and he probably in an hour's time put like 10 or 15 games on it. He's just blowing through it. And you can tell the main thing for him is just the way the shots feel. And that's what he's like. I play every day before work. I play home as soon as I get home from work. And sometimes I just don't even want to think about the game. I just want to flip. So it made me think, and maybe this is a question for you guys and listeners, if you watch this on YouTube, you know, say your thought, but what game do you think would be the best game to just step up to and not have to think at all, but just immediately get satisfaction by just flipping the ball around. Like, so I'm trying to think of games that combo well or just flow well. Maybe not like,
I mean, you're answering why a lot of people like Attack from Mars and Medieval Madness.
Okay.
This is precisely why, because those shots are accessible. You see the ball move, and then you happen to hit it up the middle. You'll see something else happen.
Okay.
You know, that's what makes those games super popular with everybody for that very reason, because the shots are wide open, because they're very accessible.
So I was thinking of like that kinetic satisfaction normally comes when you hit shots, right? So what games feed, you know, are somewhat safe or feed your flippers or combo well. And I was trying to think of the games that I've borrowed in the last few years, like Foo Fighters comes to mind. That game, a lot of the shots feed flippers. And the way that Jack designed that game to like be able to figure eight and this and that, you could just almost, and the whole Combatron is based around it. Like that game, if you just want to listen to music, have the expression lighting kits give you some crazy light show and just sit there and hit shots, I feel like that would fit pretty well. Another game that popped into my head was Elton John. I just think Elton John, immediately you're plunging in, you're picking your song, crazy light show, high energy, Steve Ritchie, every shot. I don't know. Does any other game pop, like Tom, what if you're just to walk down into your collection and you're like, I don't want to think, I just want to flip. Besides Rush, because you'll probably just, I'm guessing it would just be Rush. But no, what game would you play to just play?
I don't know. Probably Guardians or Iron Maiden.
Mm. Okay. Iron Maiden, I could see. Guardians is interesting. Just a nice casual fan layout. Just hit the shots. Mm. Smooth.
I mean, there's, yeah, probably Iron Maiden.
Okay. All right. No, well, if you're listening to this and you and a game pops into your head, please share it. Write the comment. I just thought it was because he's trying to build his collection, and it's like, what would be a really good game to just enjoy? And
I feel like Pulp Fiction could be that.
Pulp Fiction
just because of how many like sound bites there are, and the different music, and the fact that it's basically a single level layout that a lot of shots are accessible that way.
I will agree. Beatles, I think, would be another one. Just instant music and just sit there and just rip that upper loop for a while and just feel great.
That's 100% accurate, because I had a Beatles for a while, and that's like by far people that came over that never played pinball, they gravitated towards that, and they would always come back and play that above anything else that I had.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I... So the idea of like, if you just want to flip, you just want to enjoy the game, because he's one of those, I was watching him. It's like the moment he drains, he's like double, you know, hitting the flipper button. Just like, come on, give me my next ball. Like he just wants to keep going. And when I was watching my brother-in-law play Jaws, that was his biggest complaint with Jaws, is he's like, it just kept taking my ball. And what he meant by, you know, there's so many moments where the up post would come up and show a scene. He's like, I don't care about tying a knot. I don't care about starting to, like, he's just like, I just want to keep flipping, you know? And so he's sitting there just banging on, like, come on, skipping, trying to skip the animations, you know, like the shoot, come on, shoot it now. It's an awesome moment. But if you're playing Jaws for 2 hours straight, every time, like, I'm glad the up post doesn't stop it every time. It only does that animation once. But it was just an interesting complaint that I did hear from him, where he felt like Jaws kept stealing his ball. He's like, I just want to play. Like, I just want to shoot. Like, come on. So I don't know. There's your other. So what we're saying between your complaint, Travis, and my complaint, Jaws is garbage. Is that where we're at?
What you just touched base on there was something that we talked about, I think either an episode or two ago, about the LCD screen and everything. And that's, by far, I hear this a lot from a lot of people that buy pinball and are into pinball. Not too many people pay attention to the LCD screen in the middle of their game beyond getting the information that they need.
Okay.
And oftentimes they're trying to blow past a lot of the scene. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic that you have these huge manufacturers that are all trying to get all these assets in on that screen, but then you have the player that's generally not wanting to view those assets too much, because it's like anything else. If you have it at home, it's cool for a few games, but then after a while, you want to get back to the action. You want to keep going, because it's, imagine playing a video game over and over and over again. You just love how this video game plays. Like, how often do you want to sit there through the cutscene, even if it's only 10 seconds?
Travis is ready to go back to alpha numerics.
Well, but okay.
Pulp Fiction appeals to a lot of people. That's why TNA appeals to a lot of people. These are the very reasons right there. I think, and I could have swore, I thought I heard Scott say this before about TNA, that it could basically function without
100%
the LCD screen.
It was designed without it.
Right. I might be talking out of turn here, but I could have swore that it had been mentioned before. The only reason why that screen was there was because of menus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact, so I might be wrong on that, but I just know that a lot of people just want to get to the game. They want to see the action, you know, because how often do we talk about how cool a game is? It's how cool are these movie clips that get played over and over again? Tom, if you play Guardians of the Galaxy, are you playing it to start Groot and just see that movie clip play out before you can start your multi-ball?
No.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there are certain,
that's a good point, Travis. You know, I really like LCD, the displays, but yeah, I mean, once you it's like anything else. Once you've seen it a bunch of times, it just becomes information for the player at that point. How many shots do I need for this? Yeah. You know, like anything else, but, it doesn't necessarily make pinball moments having that display.
Well, it's funny because I'm trying to think of, you have Metallica and you have the Sparky animation. I know people were like, if anybody could ever adjust that code, just give me the ability to flip through that. And it's funny, like that's the one complaint they have with Metallica code. Or some people, even Godzilla, not talking about LCD, they complain about the building. You know, it's like once you see the building drop once or twice or, you know, in a night, that slows. It's funny how these moments, which are super impactful, now all of a sudden could become annoying. Just like Medieval Madness, people say after you've blown up the castle 50 times in your life, you're kind of over it, but you can't play it without blowing up the castle every time. Right. You know?
So that's just where you just move the game. You get another game. You know, if you get too tired of it, that's why there's hundreds of options out there.
But I will say there's, like when I had Hobbit, and I know people probably roll their eyes, but there are a few moments in Hobbit where the display, you know, starting the wizard mode and the music, like I like it because it's a rare moment. And that's where I'm glad I have that display. Or if you ever defeat Smaug and the flippers die and you just like focus on the screen and see everything, there are definitely times where having that screen is awesome. But when I agree, video clips, the more that I've been streaming and the more that I've been playing, video clips mean a lot less to me, but the audio package means everything to me. And that's where I think Pulp Fiction really shines. No offense to anybody, whoever's involved in this, Mark Ritchie, I know Josh Sharp, you guys did a great job. But the person that stands out to me with Pulp Fiction is David Thiel. David Thiel, the audio engineer of Pulp Fiction, crushed it on this game. It's awesome. Like there's so many sound clips built into this game. You know, you're collecting characters over and over again, but it's just this huge list of, I don't know if I ever heard the same sound clip more than once. It was far from annoying. We streamed it for 2 hours straight. Even the music, the way that he balanced the music to not, because you hear that one song the whole time, the, you know, it's like you're hearing that song all the time, but it's not annoying. I just don't know how he did it.
How does that go?
You heard it. You heard it. That's it. You got nailed it. I'm so impressed with this game. And that's, it's I'm so impressed game. With the it's audio cool. package. But then the rules and the way that this game can communicate what to do with just inserts and essentially the bottom two score displays. So if you haven't played Pulp Fiction, whenever the ball is stopped, look at player three and player four score. And that's normally what's saying what's going on. So like if you start the mode, wash the car, it says shoot orbits. Like it's very clear. Oh, okay. But then you look down and what two lights are lit, it's the orbit shots. And those are it's very obvious. So I really am enjoying it. The code is deep, as in there's plenty to do.
Do you miss not having an LCD on the game?
I do not feel like I would enjoy this game anymore if I was seeing video clips of the actors instead of just hearing them. Sure. Like I don't think I would, it's not needed.
And here's what's crazy about it. Pulp Fiction is made by I mean, they're all filmmakers, but this is made by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Like a filmmaker, the filmmaker who prides himself on just all kinds of unique shots, unique setups, unique dialogue, the whole nine yards. So yeah, it's almost like you see Pulp Fiction, what they can pull off without video clips. And it makes me wonder what's possible with others. Now, like you did say, or somebody said this earlier, there is a time and place for it.
Sure.
Depending on what's being shown, like Godzilla, for instance. It's pretty hilarious whenever you lose the ball and you got a ball save, right? Yeah. Clips like that, it's pretty funny, right? And so there's certain situations where it's good, like the ending of Jaws, where they show him like paddling off.
Yeah.
That's basically the end. Like, to me, that's pretty cool seeing stuff like that, you know? So there's just different ways to it. I think it's just, it's tough.
Because but your two examples are, you're not playing during either of those examples.
Right,
you're waiting for the ball to kick out or the ball's over.
Right, but it's part of the experience, you know, because there's no telling. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of these that if you stand off to the side and you just watch what somebody else is playing, you probably notice a lot of nuances that you miss and everything. But at the same time, it's like you look at Iron Maiden, you look at Foo Fighters, you look at even Avengers, different stuff that doesn't have video clips in it in the way that it's live action. Like, to me, those, I find those personally far more interesting than I do seeing an actual live action video clip from something like the Deadpool animation, stuff like that. That's just me personally. There's probably somebody else out there that enjoys seeing parts of a movie or a TV show or whatever, but it just makes you wonder like how much time is truly spent on getting that all together and guaranteeing that you're seeing like X amount of time for a certain video clip. Cause I'm sure the license requires you to have so much time on it. So
I don't know. But it's definitely something that stood out to me a lot recently. And I feel like I've discussed this, not only in the Flipping Out stream, we've discussed this, I think, in multiple episodes. I asked my brother the question, you know, DMD versus LCD. And as much as I like it, you know, Elton John, it just has static images of Elton John kind of scrolling. I don't care. What I do care is the fact that the display is it's organized in a way where when I do glance up, I can see exactly what I know I'm looking for.
It makes
sense.
Because
I look to the right area. Or if you start a multi-ball, you know, the animation of Crocodile Rock or the animation of Rocket Man multi-ball is really well done. So the moments where the ball is frozen or are really like, make sure that those animations look really good. But
Well, here's an easy barometer though, Joel. We got one right here with Tom Graf and Rush and the fact that it has live action concert footage and a lot of it. Like, what does that do for you, Tom, as like the ultimate Rush fan?
Yeah.
How do you like that?
I mean, I like it, but it's not the end all be all for me. I mean,
was that a selling point? That's the biggest thing. Was that a selling point to you wanting to get an LED for it?
It was the gameplay and the music that was the selling point, not what was shown on the LCD screen.
Yeah.
And that fascinates me because honestly, it is rare. And I'm not saying they're not out there. They might be listening to us right now. But it is rare that I hear somebody say a major selling point to a game is the video assets. Like, I barely ever hear that. Now, it's not impossible. I've heard it before. It's just rare that it happens. And I'm surprised at how little that's viewed by people that purchase these games or look at these games. And it made me think inwards. I'm like, anything I bought,
I was don't actually buy because of the video surprised assets. There was so much concert footage on Rush just because the previous music pins like had none.
Right.
So, I mean, that was kind of a big surprise to me, but
I don't know. I mean,
you do know, Joel. We got to know. We're going to get to the bottom of this for the entire pinball industry.
Yes, it's very clear, but I don't know what anybody's going to do about it. Like, that's something
pinball's pinball. Yeah. You know, I think people have different strategies and everything, but I think overall is we all know what we like in pinball, right?
Sure.
We're not going to not buy a pinball machine just because it has video clips. Yeah. It's just simply just probably on the back burner for the most interesting things about that particular pin that we're playing.
Yeah. To me, it's like if Spike 3 came out and they're like, now with a 4K monitor, I'd be like, meh, I don't care. But if they came out and they're like, you know what, we're taking a big turn here and we're going to go to an XL DMD type display from here on out, so we don't have to deal with video licensing, I'll be like, okay, I would be cool with that just because I love the art form. I love that art form of dots.
But what if they had audio, HDMI out?
Oh, what? That would be pretty sick. But
okay, then you'd be all in
for streaming. Yes, but I just feel, to me, what's funny is when I think about what game I want to buy, you know, normally designer, who designed the game is number one, right? And then who did the code, but quickly who did the audio is becoming very important to me. Like David Thiel is a selling point to me at this point. Like he crushed Alien. We streamed Alien. I really love the audio package in that. And I'm loving the audio package in Pulp Fiction. And that says a lot. I mean,
it's a whole package, right? I mean,
yeah, I'd rather have clip art or no art on the display, but have a great audio package. Cause that's, you are listening to the game 100% of the time. Unless you're a tournament player and you put headphones in and don't, you're listening to the game 100% of the time. And that's one of my turnoffs to like Toy Story 4 is
that you're listening to it the entire time.
You're listening to it the entire time. Like the audio package really could use a lot of work, in my opinion. And
I mean, some of the most fun that I'm sure you guys, I know for me personally, that I've had in pinball isn't necessarily at pinball tournaments. And it's not necessarily being on location. It's going to somebody's house or playing in my own house, playing on a pin that has a subwoofer hooked up to it.
Yeah.
And you're just blasting the music, blasting the sound, the lights are going, the sound's going, the shots are fun.
Yeah. But
to me, that's what makes pinball fun. And just like Tom alluded to a second ago, that's the entire package right there. And that's what makes things enjoyable. And that's why I've heard Pulp Fiction isolate it like that. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And it's the same way, even Godzilla. Amazing. Yeah. Whenever you start multi-ball and Blue Oyster Cult goes and you have a subwoofer to it. Yeah. And it's just like stuff like that. That's cool. That's fun time.
I'm with you. And that's one of the reasons I really like adding headphone kits to all my games, because then you can blast it in your ears without waking the house. But investing in upgrading your speakers is awesome. Sound is quickly becoming more and more of a priority to me in a game.
Well, good. You've come over to Tom and I's side.
Other things,
prioritize things.
Right next to Jaws LE is a Foo Fighters LE in Tom's background. Tomorrow, we are recording this on Monday. Tomorrow, all the Foo Fighters accessories are going to be announced. Is that exciting to you, Tom? What's your plan? Are you all in on all of them or what? Because you already have expression lighting.
Jeez, Joel, I haven't even seen anything.
Yeah, but does it? I mean, you'll get the topper, won't you? I mean, what?
I mean,
you
have probably just because I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. But yeah, I'm not big on the shooter rods. I haven't put my shooter rod that came with the
on Jaws.
I don't know if you could see that or not.
So they shipped it without the shooter rod installed. Is that normal or is that a first?
Normally they don't have a shooter rod.
It's not included, huh?
But yeah, it was all bubble wrapped in the coin door. So
okay, all right. Well, yeah, that was our catching up on what we're doing. Other news: Texas Pinball Festival.
Texas
Pinball Festival. That is Friday. I'm leaving Friday morning, super early. I know Travis will be there. We're going to hang out and just celebrate our friendship and just have the best time celebrating this podcast.
You two
and
what will we have mean a to each big other. Love fest.
And Tom, you're not going to be there, are you?
No. Aren't you guys glad though?
No.
No, I'm upset because I'm not even doing any of the tournaments this year. I just want to hang out.
Everybody will be like, it's so much enjoyable going to Texas Pinball Festival because Tom's not there.
That's not how that works, Tom. Not at all.
I'm not looking. Okay, I will say I am not looking forward to answering. Where's Tom at?
Oh, like, where's he
at? Where's Tom?
He's at home.
I'm just going to have him on FaceTime the entire time and just put him on my shoulder.
What I will be
asking you, where's the P3 booth so I can go play Princess Bride?
Princess Bride, yes. So
I'm actually excited about that. I want to play that game.
I wish I was going.
We'll go through each manufacturer, but yes, we are going to be there. We are, as in, Travis and myself will be there. I will be there Friday, Saturday, leaving Sunday afternoon. I think Travis is getting there Thursday.
I'm getting there Thursday, and I'm going to a karaoke party Thursday night. I cannot wait.
I'm happy for you, yes.
And for those, hang on, Joel, since you're not going to be there, I was going to invite you.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and tell people where it is. It's fine. I'll advertise.
People want to, okay.
It's called the Brothers Grill and Bar.
So Thursday night, crash it.
Yep, down in Plano, Texas. Yep. I think we're like around 9 o'clock at night, Thursday night. We'll be out there. They have a stage. They have karaoke. They have drinks.
Awesome.
Whole nine yards. If you want to hear me sing Journey, Don't Stop Believing, you'll see it that night.
Dedicate every song to Tom Graff. this song goes out to Tom Graff.
I can't wait to do Tequila, Fat Bottom Girls, Don't Stop Believing. We're going to go through all the hits.
This song goes out to Tom Graff. Okay. Well, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to just get away and check that out. I will say last year, I feel we were spoiled. What was it? It was like 7 new game announcements. And I mean, in the last week, I feel like there's been a bunch of games that have been announced. So there will be plenty to play. So let's just roll through that list. We'll start at the top. Stern's going to have probably plenty of Jaws. And to me, this will be my first opportunity to play a premium. So I'm pretty pumped for that. And then I'm assuming those Foo Fighters accessories, they'll probably have those in person for people to see. Should be pretty neat. JJP, somebody actually asked me today. They're like, do you think JJP will reveal anything tomorrow or at Texas? I was like, I doubt it. I think this is actually going to be the first opportunity for a whole lot of people to play an Elton John. I would hope they're still riding the Elton John train. I know when I did the stream with my brother, Elton John is definitely a game I miss. I genuinely miss that game. And I know of multiple people that want to buy an Elton John, but they're waiting for them to hit the secondary market. Because most of the time, JJP games kind of drop a good 1,000 or 2,000 in price. But that's the problem is I don't see any on the secondary market. And that's because it's a really good game. It's a very... very
Hold
fun
me closer,
game.
Tony Danza.
See, he could have been there just doing karaoke, but
I can't wait till Tom just shows up and surprises us. He's probably lying to us this whole time.
So JJP, definitely, I know they had it at Expo originally. They only had 3 and the lines were crazy long. So I really hope JJP goes all out and brings a lot more. I did see a Facebook flyer and it showed 4 games. So it had, I think they're planning on bringing Elton John, Godfather, Toy Story, and probably Guns N' Roses would be my guess. CGC, I know they are still making Cactus Canyons, but I would assume there will be Pulp Fictions there. So hopefully people have an opportunity to play those.
Where's my
those
alley?
Are being built. Tom doesn't have his yet, but they are being built, which is awesome. American Pinball has a new game they announced, Barrio's Barbecue Adventure?
Barbecue Challenge. How perfect is a barbecue game released in Texas?
It actually makes thematic sense.
It works.
It does. Yeah.
So let's just pause on this game for a second.
What are we pausing, Joel?
That was a perfect segue.
Tom just like threw up a softball. See that, Tom? And Joel's just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna pause."
That's what I'm saying.
Let's pump the brakes.
You want to have a jam session on Barrio's Barbecue.
Let's jam on the Barrio's Barbecue Challenge. This one, I had heard rumors that the next game, being this one, was going to be Barry Ouster's last game. And I know that he had worked on, I think it was Food Truck. So I had heard from some people, they're like, it's Food Truck. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, there's been unlicensed themes that have surprised me before. But for it to be called Barry O's, for his name to be in the title and his face all over the playfield in the back glass. I mean, Zach and Dennis on the Pinball Show, I think they said it really well. Like they took a niche hobby. They took a very niche theme with barbecue and they made it even more niche by putting a pinball designer's name in the title and his face on the playfield. Like there are pinball enthusiasts who have no idea who Barry Ouster is. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, they're only doing 100 LEs. I was really hoping after GTF and the sales of GTF not being the best, I was really hoping their next game would kind of push them back in the right direction. I don't think this is that game. Just from a marketing and just purely thematical standpoint. But with all that said, I'm looking forward to playing it. I have no idea how it's going to shoot.
Could make you really, really hungry too.
It probably will. With the fact that the speaker grill is a grill. It's going to be talking about smoked meats. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird choice. Like the front is like wood, and then
the
speaker grill is an actual grill.
Yeah.
But
it's a pen that looks like it's like the pinball machine out of time. It's almost like this game should have came out in the early 90s, sometime around then.
Well,
I'm curious to play it. Like, I want to play all new pinball. So I haven't watched much video on it at all.
There isn't any. That's the thing. Well,
there is one that showed up today on YouTube. There's like an 8-minute long clip, and I watched it for a couple of minutes. And I think what kind of got me a little bit, I was expecting it to be very much barbecue theme. Right. Because obviously it's barbecue challenge. But then the light show was kind of, it almost felt like Star Wars with barbecue. You know, like the light show was very, it reminded me of
barbecue with Wheels. A rave.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of got me a little bit, seeing green inserts and everything. But I guess there's only so much that you could do, though, obviously, to try to keep on theme as much as possible. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about this game, just because it's obviously not a big name title. Like you said, it's very niche down. And so when I see this, I'm thinking, okay, this game is not made for the home user. I feel like it's made exclusively for locations more than anything else. And I think with the rollout, kind of the way it is, the game is on locations now, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think they got several locations. So,
well,
I don't know. I'm going to answer like Joel does. I don't know. I gotta play it. I'm very confused by the theme, but I am excited. It is a Barry Ausler.
Yeah. Pen.
I generally enjoy his designs, such as like Taxi. That's a fun game.
Because
yeah, his
Taxi. Yeah, he designed Barry Ausler.
Yeah.
I thought that was Mark Ritchie.
Yeah. Let me see. Who did call outs?
Hey, Tom, who's right?
You got me right. Yeah, you got me right.
Joel was right.
Joel was right.
Undefeated.
Joel was right. Undefeated. Joel was right. How dare you? Yeah. Fine. He did. What? Now I got to think what other games he did.
He did Harley Junkyard. Davidson. I know he did Junkyard.
Bally Harley Davidson.
Dracula, Doctor Who.
Yep. See, this is why we have Tom. 90s. Tom knows things.
We got Tom. Well, didn't he do like... He did Fire, right?
Taxi? No, he did not do Taxi.
He did not do Taxi. He did Fire and Space Station, right? I'm going to look this up now. Now you got me wondering.
While you're looking it up, when I looked at the layout, my initial impression was that looks like Hot Wheels. That looks like Hot Wheels. And so to me, it's almost like I almost wish they would have taken Hot Wheels and then just had kind of do a spooky where they just do another retheme and we'll just take a known layout and make it another theme for barbecue joints.
I think it's the color of the play field.
Maybe.
The ramps, maybe.
Yeah.
Like the pit targets.
Well, yeah, it's the three targets in the middle. Like that, yeah. The RPM targets were right there on
but whatever.
I don't know. What's up, Travis?
I was partially right. Okay. He was with Taxi, but it was the call outs. Because it just dawned on me as soon as you said that. I knew he was associated with the project.
You're not right.
So he was Gorbachev.
Right.
Joel wins the battle.
Shit. Yes. For the record, he is not the designer for Taxi, but he was associated with the project.
Okay. So
it kind of reminds me of Mystic. Has anybody else seen that? If you look at it, if you really, really look at it,
I would love it if Mystic was designed by somebody other than him. He didn't design Mystic.
I'm saying it looks similar to that with where things are. When I was looking at that earlier, I saw where the pops were. I saw where targets are at the sides.
Okay.
Right? It just reminded me a lot of Mystic. It's like almost could overlay it.
I'm just going to have to play it, but I think you said something that I think this is marketed more towards location. You know, Oktoberfest, the idea with Oktoberfest is every brewery in America is going to want to buy one, right? I don't see every barbecue restaurant in America jumping on Barrio's barbecue challenge. I think if a barbecue joint is going to add a pinball machine into their lineup, they're probably going to want to buy a band pin or a, you know, like some other, I just don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I mean, I think it's a great tribute to Barry Osler, but just putting him on the game is kind of, I don't know. Maybe I'll get it when I play it.
Okay. All right. Well,
I mean, they are, well, they are up front too, looking through, I guess, the overview of it, that I guess that they are sending royalties to his estate from every cell.
Cool.
So they're very much making him a massive part of this game. But Joel, you are correct. I guess, well, you said that Zach and Dindin mentioned this, that it could be that people don't necessarily know who he is either.
Yeah.
That are currently in pinball, because I can't even remember the last game that he put out.
Designed. What was the last game? And you're wrong.
It's not Taxi, Joel. What was the last game that he put out?
I think it had been a long time, because I think remember. he was designing something with Deep Root.
Didn't he put out Queen? Didn't he design that?
I'm just
before he designed Queen.
I feel like you're one Google away from finding this answer. Yeah,
I'm gonna bring it back up. I know Junkyard was like his last one.
His main, yeah.
It seemed like.
So I'm excited to play it. I like playing new games. I like playing new games for sure. So it's definitely on the list of, you know, I have full plans of standing in the line and ready to play it. And sure, I'd love you to be blown away on it.
We're gonna play Barbecue Challenge together.
Well, that's all we're gonna play. So if you're looking to meet Travis and I at TPF, just go to the American Pinball booth. We're gonna be standing in line playing nothing but Barbecue Challenge
Wasn't
Bowden, he's on the rules, right?
Yes.
I bet he'll have great rules.
Contributed to the design as well.
Really? Okay.
So it says Stephen Bowden, Dennis Norman, and Ryan McQuaid in design assistance played a vital role in refining the game's play field.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. Well, what I'm getting at is usually, like, I've had Bowden before explain the rules to me to a game as I'm up there.
Nice.
That I hadn't played before. And that enhances the experience a lot, because he gives pretty good insight with what's going on. Plus his attitude, his personality is so infectious, because he gets super excited during the game too. So
he's a great dude.
Yep. So I'd be looking out for that as well.
So definitely check that out. If you haven't played GTF, I mean, make sure they'll have them there. Play it. So that'll be American Pinball. Spooky's going to have a big turnout. They always bring a lot of games, and I would assume they might even have a few Scooby-Doos there. I don't know. I think they are almost done or very close to done with building all the Scooby-Doos. I had a local friend here that he didn't get the collector's edition of Scooby-Doo. He got the other one, and so those are the Bloodsucker edition or whatever. It's like those are the ones that are built last. He just got his game a few weeks ago, and he ordered it day one, but because he didn't order the collector's edition. So I think they're rounding that out. I don't know. So they may or may not have Scooby-Doo's at Texas, but they should have Texas Chainsaw Massacre, pinball machines there, and Looney Tunes.
Mascara.
So I'm excited to play both. I'm really excited to play both and see how well those play. Four ramps, four flippers. Every ramp feeds a flipper. It'll be cool to have them side by side to be able to like jump back and forth and kind of see how different they feel. So I definitely have plans of spending a good amount of time in the spooky booth.
Which one are you more excited to play?
I mean, honestly, Looney Tunes would be. There's no way I'd have Texas Chainsaw Massacre in my house, so Looney Tunes would be the one I'd care more about. And Looney Tunes has Eric Kripke rules, and I've found Eric Kripke did Rick and Morty, and Eric Kripke did Labyrinth, and I really enjoyed both of those rule sets.
But Texas Chainsaw Massacre has Hilton rules.
My comment stands. I will just I don't know Hilton besides I know he's been banned from Pinside. So I think I know Eric Kripke, and I'm excited to play his games.
I think
games.
You should give it a fair shake, Joel.
I mean I'll play it. Don't get me wrong.
Are you bringing the family and friends with you to TPF, or is it just you?
I will play it. I will play it.
We will give you permission. To play Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You're going to play it and be like, damn, I can't get this.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Elvira. I really enjoyed Elvira. Really enjoyed it. But anyway,
it's funny. I'm actually super interested in Texas Chainsaw Massacre and playing it, because it's a theme that I don't care for at all.
Yeah, your twin daughters will love it.
at all. But but
somebody
I think
around
it's,
the house. Well,
what I'm getting at is I yeah, I can fully respect the balls of steel for a company to put this theme on a pinball machine. You know, just yeah. to. Just the fact, because you're not yeah. doing that unless you're super passionate about it. So yeah, I'm absolutely. Very curious to see how that comes off to somebody that's not interested in the theme at all.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm willing to give it a shot, because I don't know, for pinball, it makes me excited when I know that the people behind it are very excited about the project that they're doing. So
I'm with you. I think it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to playing both of those. I also know in the booth, Christopher Franchi apparently is going to be there in that booth. So he's going to be signing stuff. He's said on Facebook, Christopher Franchi, that this is his last pinball signing thing. Like, he's been at most Chicago or Texas every time I've gone. Super nice guy to talk to. So, if you're a fan of Christopher Franchi and you like his art, definitely check out, I think he's in the spooky booth. Check him out there. Try to get things signed. Bring, you know, if you're local or whatnot, my brother for streaming with me, with Zach, I got him a Guardians of the Galaxy banner. And so he loves Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm actually going to take that down, take it all the way with me to Texas just to get Franchi to sign it, to bring it back. So
why is your brother not coming to TTF?
Because he's a bum.
This upsets me.
It costs money. It costs money to fly down there and rent a hotel room and all that. Yeah. Yeah. It's not free.
It's called privilege, Joel.
No.
Cole, just be a trophy husband. You don't have to worry about it at all.
He will be at Chicago. Chicago for us is a drive. That's super easy to get to. So, my brother will definitely be
there or just one day.
I don't know, every day. He knows more than one. He came only one day last time and he's like, I need to come for more than one day for sure.
Well, convince him to come down to TPF. It's not too late.
It's not going to happen in 4 days.
Why wouldn't it?
We can't convince Tom to come.
Why can't he show up?
No.
let me look at flights.
He's All right, so that is spooky. Spooky's going to be great. Barrels of Fun will be there. They're going to have a lot of labyrinths. Honestly, I'm excited to play it again. I know they've done some code updates since the time that I streamed it, so I'm looking forward to putting my hands on that machine again and playing it. I really had a lot of fun with that, and also
get
just
your
to be
hands off.
I'm going to have my hands all over that game.
When is TPF again? What are the dates?
Friday. So it's the 15th, 16th, 17th.
That soon?
Yeah, it's Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah.
Tom's thinking about going. He's thinking about it.
He's thinking. Oh,
look at him.
I already committed to streaming.
Ah, ditch it.
Streaming what?
Lumberjack Johnny's Jaws Lunch Party.
Oh, well, just tell him you got sick.
Yeah.
Fine. I don't know.
Yeah, so just you listening to the podcast right now.
You can pass the torch to somebody, right?
I mean,
call up Andy Bagwell. Say, you do me a solid.
He's not coming.
No.
Here it is.
Other side note. We had that small little mini episode where we announced Papa, and it was really, really cool filming with Andy Bagwell and Penny and talking about that. So totally. I know we got some really good feedback on that episode and people are excited for it. So I don't know if tickets have any of that gone up for sale yet. Oh, they have. So I hope that's going well. Honestly, that's in Chicago. Depending on what's going on, that would be a tournament I would like to just come to and say, hey, or yeah. So we'll see. Maybe there's a chance that I would drop in on that. I also had a guy randomly, Tom, with Fox Ace Pinball, you posted the stream from Expo last year, and I commentated on that stream for like 4 hours.
Oh, here we go.
I had a blast doing it. Like, I had an absolute blast doing it. So I had this random Facebook message, and a guy was like, hey, just watch this, and I really enjoyed your commentary. I was like, well, shoot, okay. I loved it. I absolutely loved doing it. And I loved drawing all over Tom's screen and pissing him off. It was great. It was so great. All right, so that was the spooky booth. Barrels of Fun, we talked about that. Definitely go play Labyrinth. I highly doubt they would be showing anything but Labyrinth. Something they did just post, though, on Facebook is they have a bunch of merch and accessories that they're now selling. They have this thing called, I think they're calling it Pin Armor. It's a whole bunch of like a cloth-made bag for when you travel with a pin to slide all the legs in and put the bolts and everything. Like, it's really cool. I don't know. Check it out. Check out their website. Check out their accessories. They're going to have all this stuff. They have, like, head wraps and whole body wraps for people
that
move
games. What is this called now?
Go to Barrels of Fun. Barrels of Fun's website.
Barrels of Fun.
Are they going to do the
Barrels of Fun?
The pen pod also?
No, it's not. It's not out of wood. But apparently they're going to have all this merch on sale there.
You mean the makers of Labyrinth?
The makers of Labyrinth. Yes. Apparently they have a bunch of, they now have like pinball accessories.
Sweet.
And a bunch of them are like protective things and travel kits. I mean, Zach and I swap games, it feels like monthly. I almost want to convince Zach to buy two of them.
Hey, the goblin topper's in stock right now. You better go get it.
That's a great game. So I'm looking forward to playing that. I'm looking forward to seeing them and checking out some of that merch in person. Another random thing, Back Alley Creations. If you don't follow Back Alley Creations, Back Alley Creations does all the sculpts for Spooky. They, on Facebook, they do the 7 days before TPF. So they reveal 7 mods, one every day before TPF. And they're all pretty cool. Like they had a bunch of Jaws mods. They like Jaws sculpts that they posted today. So check them out on Facebook, Back Alley Creations. So that was Barrels of Fun. Turner Pinball. Turner Pinball is going to be there. I think they said they have another iteration of Ninja Eclipse. We played the original one at TPF, and then they had a whole nother model, the one without the coin door at Chicago Pinball Expo. So I'm very curious to see what this iteration is going to look like. They're going to be there. P3 Multimorphic is going to be there. They've obviously just revealed Princess Bride. We have not talked about that. Initial impressions.
We should talk about it right now, Joel.
So can we pause? Can we pause on that? And
yeah,
and
let's talk just about, jive a little a bit pause. On Princess
Let's just
Bride
jive.
Now.
Let's yeah, just jam. Why not? Jam or jive? Yeah.
Which time is it?
It's 10:49 my time. So
9:49 my time, Tom.
Jive or jam? Jam feels a little aggressive. Let's just drive on it, okay? Let's just jive. Let's keep it chill.
Are we driving or jiving?
We're jiving.
What are we doing here?
We're jiving. Jiving.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All so
rolling
Princess
with
Bride.
The homie. Oh, sorry.
No, don't ever apologize for singing, Tom. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Clueless is an awesome movie.
Angelic. Do you care about Princess Bride? No. Is that a theme that resonates in any of your households?
I mean, it's a good movie.
Isn't it Neil's favorite movie? Doesn't he talk about it? He has Princess Bride posters all over his dorm?
No.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of the wrong Neil. Got it. Okay.
For me personally, no, but for Monica, absolutely 1000%.
She likes Princess Bride.
She's obsessed with Princess Bride. Oh. We have probably at least 3 or 4 novels of the same book, just in different ways. I've had to watch this movie at least 3 or 4 times, which is a lot for me to agree with Monica to watch what she wants to watch. But yeah, this is like her pin that she's interested in. So
is she going to be at TPF?
Watch this.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
want to see.
She ain't gonna let me travel across the country by myself, Joel. I'll
you're
get
bringing
lost.
Your boys. I mean, you'll be by
true.
Yourself. Yeah,
that is true. But no, between Pirates and Princess Bride, she's just all in.
Those are
two
her top
themes.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And then Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? That was.
Yeah, I'm in trouble if that ever comes out.
Those are the top three themes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so Princess Bride, I remember when the rumor came out, this was before it was even announced or rumored that it was Multimorphic that was making the game. It was just like, hey, apparently PrincessBridePinball.com or something was a thing. I remember mentioning it to my wife. I was like, what do you think of Princess Bride as a pinball theme? She's like, that is a good choice. She's like, that's a good movie. It's very approachable to so many people love it. She was like, that's a really, not that she necessarily loves that theme more than others, but I think Harry Potter would be the one theme that would probably resonate most with her, that and Beyonce. So, you know, I don't see a Beyonce pin
Let me
happening.
Go get my wallet on the Harry Potter one.
Yeah, I know. That's you and a lot of people. But anyways, Princess Bride, I think it's an excellent theme choice. Excellent theme choice. I've watched some of the streams. I don't know. You guys go first. Initial impressions of gameplay or what you've seen of the machines.
It's a P3. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it is a P3. You are correct on the platform.
Yes. No, it looks good. I think it's got some cool mechs in the back. The ball going up the cliffs of insanity. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Joel.
Yeah, I just remembered that I told my wife after it was officially announced, I was like, hey, tonight, do you want to watch Princess Bride? She's like, why? And I was like, well, the pinball machine just came out. I want to watch the movie to like refresh it, you know? And she's like, nah. Like she just wasn't. Yeah.
Anybody well, want a peanut?
I think if Travis was like, hey, Monica, you wanted to watch Princess Bride? Yes. Like she just immediately, yeah.
I'd be having a fifth kid by now if I did that.
Oh, man. Who are you? What'd you do with Travis? Yeah. My initial impressions of it is they have a shot right up the middle. So it looks like it's, a lot of ridicule that Turtles gets with Stern was you took a child's theme, even though it's my dream theme, you took a child's theme and you made a brutal pin. I don't think they did that with Princess Bride. The shots look to be incredibly accessible and forgiving. And I think they took a very approachable theme and they made a very approachable pin. So I will be curious to see what the ball times look like at TPF waiting in line to play this game. If I'm assuming, you know, I remember there goes Travis. Travis, he forgot his dummy battery. He told us at the beginning of the episode. So we are back.
Dumb, to dumb.
Elgato, no signal.
Dumb, dumb.
Yeah. That's the guy we have. That's the third wheel on this.
It was like almost journey. Exactly an hour.
Yeah. It's every 30 minutes, I think. Just whatever.
Hey, did you guys know that Barry Osler did not design Taxi?
I did know that. Guys, if you see Travis at TPF, just try to slip that in somewhere. Like, hey, Travis, did you know that Barry Osler didn't design Taxi? Just slide that in. And what was the other thing that you said?
You know how many people have said to me, oh, you really dropped the gopher on that one?
That's what it was.
The groundhog.
I'm like, I'm not Travis or the groundhog.
You really?
I'm like, I'm not Travis.
I forgot about that. You really? That's what I was just trying to remember. What's the other thing? You really dropped the groundhog on that?
Yeah, the groundhog.
By the way, I am gonna get. I'm gonna get this pinball armor.
It's pretty slick, isn't it?
It's pretty slick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a set.
So check out the Barrels of Fun store. They have a bunch of cool new pinball stuff.
How do we get back on Barrels of Fun? I thought we were talking
Tom's
about Princess
apparently
Bride.
Searching
looking
it.
At the pinball.
It's pretty
cool set, and yeah. I want to throw money away.
Yeah, there you go.
TPF if you're going
to
do that.
I was starting to think that's so. That makes me so. Listeners, thank you. Thank you so much for doing that to Tom. Feel free to do it to Travis.
This is an awesome pinball mod.
Yeah. The pin armor. I know. I'm excited about it. Okay, so what were you talking about? Princess Bride, yep. So I remember when we were there at TPF, the ball lines, the lines for Final Resistance weren't crazy long because that game's pretty fast and pretty brutal. I'm expecting the ball times to be pretty long just based on layout. But what I have heard in the streams and others is they basically said they have full access to the movie. So every scene that you think of is in the game. Every quotable line that you think of is in the game. It's just full of it. And when you have that massive display in the play field, they're able to show that. And not only are they showing it, you can see it because you're staring at the play field. So I think this may be one of those where it's going to be really nice having that movie and video integration in a game. So I think this is a massive step forward for Multimorphic getting a theme this big, this accessible, and it's expensive though. That's the one thing. I mean,
didn't they drop their price a little bit though?
They dropped the price of the individual module, but for people that are on the fence, and this is finally the theme. You know, Monica, I don't know if she's saying, "All right, Travis, I'm ready for a P3 in the house." But if this is the theme, it's over 10 grand. To get into this game. And I don't know how much, you know, if you're bringing people from outside the hobby or just Princess Bride fanatics, I don't know how, you know,
so if
it's
I
that
want
easy
the
to,
standard edition.
Yeah.
How much is it?
Let me Google that for you. Multimorph.
About time.
talk amongst yourselves, you know why. Sorry listeners,
Travis, what did you do this weekend?
I came home and iced my knee for a long time since I ended up finishing nationals on a stool while I played, so I had no choice.
Which Neil
my
brought
still
you
swollen.
Okay.
What's that?
Which Neil brought you, right?
He the did stool? Both him and Escher, they were both helping me, so wow. The young kids were like propping me up.
It's like helping the old guy.
I have it pulled up here. The P3 machine with Princess Bride standard edition game.
Okay.
Is the full price is $11,500 plus shipping.
That's, I don't think that's that bad.
That's the module
whole
and
thing, though. That's the whole thing.
That's the standard.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you got to, I mean, you got to buy the game, like the playfield and all that.
But that's the whole thing. If you just, if you already have a P3 and you want just the playfield, the module like 3,750. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's sick that you can be under $4,000 and get a brand new game. I get it. But just,
and then it was like $5,000 for the LE or something like that. If you already if the you module already have a P3, yeah, because you get
5,000 and you get the topper and all that.
Topper, got to get the topper.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited to play it. I'm excited to play it for sure. Excited to see how it feels and shoots and whatnot. The streams I saw though, it definitely seemed to be a longer playing game. But for people in this particular theme, I think I would rather. Yeah, it makes way more sense to have an easier shooting game. Maybe it's not easy, but even just, I'm glad it's not brutal. I'm glad it's not brutal like a Turtles or a, you know, where it's not appropriate for what the theme is. So that should be pretty neat, pretty neat. And I know Multimorphic always has a lot of games out at Texas because it's semi-local for them. What manufacturers have I forgotten? We talked about listing them out.
I was just thinking about this.
Stern. JJP.
Well, American, I mean, Barrels Pitbull, of Fun CGC. Will have Labyrinth there, right?
And all the accessories. We talked about that.
Haggis coming?
Haggis is not.
No.
Which is probably smart because with their whole email thing saying they are, what was the term? Something with money. Like basically reevaluating how they disperse their money. The idea of flying games over and flying people over to show off the games, probably not the best use of that money. So
sure.
That's smart for them not to be there. Like Pedretti is Pedretti Gaming. I would assume there'll be some aliens there. I would assume some queens.
Will Dutch they have anything new?
I don't know. No idea. I think there's a rumor right now with it's a helicopter, and it looks like apparently that's the helicopter that was used in ABBA. ABBA's covers, so if like, that ends up being...
I thought they would fly into concerts in a helicopter.
Yeah, Pedretti isn't there, but Pinball Brothers is.
Okay.
Oh, that's Pinball Brothers.
That's right. So Pedretti, they're the ones talking about doing remakes. They're talking about the ones doing remake games.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. It's a rumor. So waiting to see what's going on with that. But Pinball Brothers, they did Alien, they did Queen, and now they're talking about... The poster is looking like it's going to be ABBA.
Are you sure?
I'm not. It's a helicopter. It's the helicopter
get to the chopper.
Yes. Is it the ABBA helicopter?
That's what people are saying.
I know nothing about ABBA, so I have no idea.
I don't either. But I remember one of our conversations, I don't know who said it, but I was like, ABBA? ABBA's the theme? And somebody wrote, women love ABBA. That was the response. And so I was like, hey, Nicole.
That was me.
Oh, you said. Okay, you said women love ABBA.
Just because my wife likes it, so I assume if she likes it, all women like it.
All women.
So I said, hey, Nicole, do you love ABBA? She's like, ABBA? I was like, yeah, the band. She's like, I mean, they're fine. And I was like, well, according to this, women love ABBA. She goes, I don't think that's a blanket statement. I don't think that applies to the entire gender.
No.
Yeah. No. But
I can ask Monica real quick. But you find out. Go
did
ahead.
Did you say
Joel?
Red Hot Chili Peppers? No. So we'll see that. Dutch. If Dutch is there, they're rumoring a new. They're still working on Lebowski's, but they're saying the next game is in the works.
Imagine working on Lebowski's for like 10 years.
I'm just glad they're finally. For some people that have had deposits in for 8-9 years, I'm glad they're finally getting their games.
That'd be nice.
So yeah, besides that, I think that's basically every major manufacturer. There's a whole lot of mods for sale. There's a whole lot of other cool stuff, merch, all that crap. It's awesome. And then homebrews. I will let you know, friend of the show, Glenn, he does a lot of music for a lot of podcasts. Glenn, he told us that him and a few of his friends, they did a homebrew for the movie Saw, S-A-W, Saw, the horror movie. And apparently that game will be there at Texas. So try to play that. Apparently Glenn did all the music, all the call outs, all the sound effects for the game. And he actually sent me a song. So at the end of the episode, after Tom graces us with his wisdom and kind words of whatever, I'm going to throw in his song. So feel free to listen to that. And hopefully that background music for the game pumps you up enough that you'll want to play it, that you'll want to play the game.
Travis and I cannot wait.
You're not going to be there. Oh, you can't wait to hear the song.
Can hear it at the end? Jeez, Joel.
Got it. I thought you were talking about playing the game. But yeah, I think that's it for, I don't know, TPF. Besides that, there is a tournament going on. I know Wormhole Pinball is streaming that. And then otherwise, it's just go and hang out with like-minded people. If you see Travis and I, please come and say hi. And it's just fun. It's just a fun place to be and hang out at. So I don't know, Travis, do you have any other thoughts on?
Yeah, actually. So I am going to be in a certain area on the floor. It's with the Hangar Pinball exhibit. So they're going to have an area there. They're based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And are you signing autographs?
No. No. We will be answering questions, though, about Barry Osler's taxi, though, so I'll have a seminar for that.
I want everybody at TPF to go up to Joel and Travis and try to get their autographs.
No. I'll sign anything. Bring me a baby. I'll sign a
babies.
Baby.
Babies and boobs. Those are the only two things I sign. I'm sorry.
Wow.
In an order that would surprise you, Joel.
I don't even.
So basically, Hangar Pinball, they are doing a unsanctioned or non-sanctioned tournament during the event. Joel, you could even do this. It's basically a $10 entry fee, a card. I think they're going to have like 8 or 9 pins at their booth. But the top five, from my understanding, the top five cards will win $500 each.
Whoa.
And then all excess funds will go to charity, all this and that. That's what I've been told.
I would like to go to TPF now.
Yeah, there you go. So all you other tournament players that are stuck in the tournament area, suck it, because Joel and I, we're going to be putting in some Papa cards. And
how many Whoppers do I tournament. Get? How many?
No Whoppers.
None, but you get 500 bones, and that's all that matters, Joel.
Okay, all right. I'll come back a winner. I'll tell my wife I won money.
There you go. Yep. But that, I think they're going to be streaming that on Twitch and everything. So that's like the one thing that I know is happening there. So they won't be able to compete with Tom doing his Jaws launch party, but whatever. It's fine. He's doing that. But I'll probably be on that stream for a little while as well. Okay. So,
all right. Well, I think that's TPF. It's going to be fun. Maybe we can twist Tom's wrist and he'll show up. We'll see.
Is there any seminars, Joel?
Did you want to go to? Yeah, there are. I haven't actually looked. I mean, I know there's no Twippies. That was always a fun way to cap it off on Saturday night.
What are people going to do on Saturday night?
We're going to get drunk.
It's going to get pretty freaking rowdy in there.
It'll
be fun.
We used to get drunk during the Twippies, but now we just got to get drunk before and just hold on to it all day long. Yeah. That's all we can do at this point.
Is Kaneda still going to TPF?
He's not. He's kicked out of Expo, so I bet he'll be there. He'll be there.
I think everybody should be there, but Tom Graf, right? Is Zach going?
I mean, it would be a good excuse to go.
Yeah.
Zach is still on the fence?
Zach is still on the fence.
Why is nobody going to TPF?
There's something to do with his like kids spring break or something. I don't know. But
Joel, that means you and I, we're going to have to hang out.
You know who else is going to be there? Neil McRae. And Neil McRae.
Neil McRae is a saint.
I can't wait. I love
Neil McRae.
I'm excited to see Neil McRae.
Now I am actually going to look into a flight.
Neil, if you're going, bud, you better be there for karaoke night. We talked about this at Indisc. I'm just saying.
I hope he buys another round of really girly, fruity, frilly drinks for us.
I'll drink whatever Neil puts in front of me. Neil's the man. That's just a rule. It is what it is.
TPF, it's going to be great. If you're there, say hi to us. But other than that, the only other thing I think left to cover is tournament talk. Tournament talk.
I thought we were going to talk about brisket.
What was your favorite?
I went to the Heart 8 last year for.
Yeah.
That was really good. I'd recommend.
What'd you have?
I had sausage.
Oh, no shit. Joel, let him answer though.
Brisket and pulled pork.
He had smoked meats.
That sounds awesome. And what was that place called?
Heart 8.
Heart 8. Okay, Joel, we got to go there.
Heart 8.
Like heart ache or hard eight?
Hard
eight.
Eight.
Like the number eight.
The number eight.
You said it wrong.
What does that stand for?
You're rolling dice, hard eight.
Oh, hard eight. So it's like casino theme.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. Well, now we're getting into Tom's dark past.
Where so like maybe the barbecue challenge pen has like a high roller casino vibe to it or something.
I don't know. Okay.
Could you imagine if Texas Chainsaw Massacre was next to the barbecue game? Like, that is just perfect.
I wonder how likely is that? Is the American pinball booth by the spooky booth? They need to make that happen.
So we're just going to be playing meat grinding games? Is that it?
Bingo.
You
got it. Bingo. Joel wants to talk about tournaments so bad, but the two tournament players like
I'm trying to show respect to you guys in your tournaments, because you guys can be crap on the weekends. You're like, Joel, there's really important competitive pinball being on stream right now. I'm like, sorry, I'm dealing with children or digging a hole. My wife decided to take out a tree.
See, this is, you should be watching with your children and experiencing.
Tom, here's what happened. He gets one comment about his commentating and it's just gone to his head. Mm-hmm, now he's like, we got to talk about tournament streaming now. I mean, he's the Joel Rogan of tournaments.
You know, so I just ask the questions that people want to know, you know, which is how do you play this game? That's the questions I ask while I commentate. But
people ask me how I got Neil into pinball. I said, you sit down and watch Elwin play this game.
And he said, yes, Dad. Yes. Okay. So there was a big tournament that just happened at District 82. It was streamed by Fox City's Pinball. Like everybody and their mom watched it. You got a ton of viewers. The channel is growing massively. Like, actually, huge congrats, Tom. You are crushing it with that.
Thank you to the IFPA.
The official name, what was it? It was the, what's the official name of the thing that you streamed?
I don't know. No, just kidding. It's a IFPA North American Pinball Championship. That was on Thursday.
So that was every state or province champion. Correct. From a few months back, all traveled to District 82 and they competed for the title. I know, Travis, you won Oklahoma. So you were there and you competed, right?
I did.
Okay. And did you win?
I won. I had a bye and then I won that round and then I lost the next round. So I went out third round. I guess it was like 12th place or something like that.
To who?
To Richie Terry from Washington. Nice dude. Great player.
Nice.
Pretty cool guy. Yeah.
Do you know if he has like a webcam that stays on more than 30 minutes?
He might. Just, okay. But no, he kicked the dog crap out of me, though. Like, I just
webcam.
could not get anything going.
So to spoil everything, Dalton won. Dalton won the whole thing, which is awesome. Another one of those young bucks taking it all. Who are the final two? Dalton and who?
Drew
Sedolia.
I don't know that name.
I have to think about the spelling of his name.
He's around our age. He was fighting for us old guys.
Yeah. What state was he?
He freaking killed it.
North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah.
I think, right? Yeah.
Yep.
He's an excellent player. He's been around for a while.
Nice. Yep. So what's the format of that? I mean, I know obviously to get in, but what's the actual, is it head-to-head or?
Yep, head-to-head. Okay. Basically best of seven games.
Oh.
There was a list of 30 games, 10 old, 10 mid, and 10 new. That the players got to pick from.
What's the cutoff between mid and new?
It varies. So, I mean, like games from, I don't know, Travis, I don't have the list in front of me.
This like would be Adam's, like a Josh
Adam's
question.
Family was a mid, so that was like,
right.
Makes sense.
It's like 92, 93.
Yeah, but Attack from Mars was a modern, right? Or a new. And that's like a 95 game.
I'm pulling up the list.
But no, Attack from Mars was, or sorry, the Addams Family was considered a mid.
Okay.
Yeah, so was games like 8 Ball Champ.
So what game, Travis, did you get wrecked on?
What's that?
What game did you get wrecked on?
Let's see.
Frontier, just build the list, right? Because
yeah,
Bad Girls
Frontier,
is still
that went
one.
Sideways fast. Foo Fighters, I can just go shove that game in traffic.
Oh, really?
Thanks to the way Josh had it.
What do you
do? It's not because of like Jack's design. It's just the way the game played.
It almost didn't treat Josh very well when I was playing with him.
I legit, Joel. Okay. I don't complain about pinball much. I'm going to file a complaint right now. I shot the Overlord, the forks, and I'm in multi-ball, right? So I shoot the Overlord to get my 2X locked in. The forks come up, then the game tilts. Like when the forks come up, and I'm like, what?
The tilt was that tight?
Well, it was tight. But then the previous round, I hit the left ramp. And the post that comes up that's supposed to stop the ball as you choose your city, it sent the ball up and out to the out lane. Like it just popped it off the glass and just went. And the game like just totally honey dicked me because I thought I might have a ball save or something. And I'm sitting there choosing my city. So I'm like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? New Orleans. And then it just instantly counts down my bonus.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, there was that. And let's see. Eight ball champ.
So, you really dropped the gopher on that one. That's what I'm hearing.
The groundhog.
Groundhog. Well, just groundhog. Any rodent, really. My bad.
Anything. My bad. But I did win one. I won Adam's family. So, there's that. I had that. It was 4-1.
You won one? No, that's good.
I put up a fight.
It's good for your pride.
A little bit. Yeah. I just like limped around everywhere. Escher and Neil took care of me. And the drive back was just fantastic. But
nice. That's right. You had a big slumber party at Tom's house.
I did. I got to sleep next to Carlos, and then I woke up. I woke up in the middle of the night.
To Space Jams?
Like, man, I'm just like, the snoring super loud all of a sudden. I'm like, Carlos isn't a snorer. And then it dawned on me. I was like, wait, freaking Luke showed up. And so there was, it was just like pinball summer camp before Pin Masters down there. I didn't stay for Pin Masters, but it was a good time.
But apparently the best house guest of the weekend was none of those. It was apparently Tom's mother-in-law, right?
That's what you said. That's right.
That's what I remember hearing, seeing the chat. Like somehow my mother-in-law stayed the weekend and you had, five different pinball people all in the basement too. Yeah. So you had a full house.
Yeah. During Nationals, I get a text from Andy Bagwell. Is there any room at your house? And I'm like, no. Sorry.
Okay, so they had that tournament, and then because everybody was still there, there were additional tournaments, and pin golf was one of them. And pin golf is a format that I find very appealing. I think that actually looks really cool. I'd suck at it, but it looks like a format I would enjoy.
It's exciting.
It's fun, yet completely. I don't want to say insane. I can't think of the word.
Brutal.
It's really insane. It's tough how IFPA sets them up.
Did you have any hole in ones?
In three Pin Masters, I have never had a hole in one.
What about you, Travis? Oh, you didn't play. You already went home.
I played in 2020, and I think I had two or three, probably two. Because I had to save my round because I had a horrible 24.
So to explain,
a bunch of twos.
If you're listening, what it is you're not playing against anybody points wise. It's every game has a task that you have to achieve, and you play as max.
Well, this one it's
five
a score.
Ball? How many?
It's always
ball?
A score in Pin Masters.
Oh, it's always a score. So always it's not just start this mode or
right.
start multi-ball.
So, local tournaments and stuff like that. You might have an objective such as start multi-ball or like this, like that. But in Pin Masters at that level, it's always score based. That's taken from the scores at Nationals. So it's like an average of what the players have already done. So that's why you might see some scores, some holes that are a little bit tougher than others.
It's kind of
never mind. I would suck at that. I would not.
I would pay money to see you go and play at Pin Masters. That's the one tournament besides Expo I'd want to see you play.
It's fun in a sense, Joel, because when you're qualifying, you're competing against everybody, but you're actually like talking to everybody and like, like strategy. It's almost like you're rooting everybody on.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. I mean, it's just it's got a different feel to it.
Yeah. I'll have to give that a shot. That definitely looks cool. But I mean, any other tournament talk? Anything else tournament related that you guys want to?
Oh, Zyron?
What'd you call me?
Oh, yeah, from Idaho. Yeah. He's a good kid. He's nice. I got to meet him, and he is, he's like the new blood.
Yeah.
That just showed up. Everybody got to watch him play.
And he's good.
He's good.
He's pretty good. I commentated his first round game at Nationals with Carlos, and it was immediately apparent during the first ball. You were just like, okay, this kid has something that's different, something that's unique. you know, that could develop into something really, really good in the future. I mean, he's already pretty good now, but you can see that if he keeps with it in a couple of years, he'll be very tough.
You said something similar after you watched my Venom streams, you know, for the hours that you had to watch
them. I'm floored. I don't know why Stern hasn't turned down all your scores now for their March Madness thing that they're doing.
I'm not qualified. Yeah. Just,
yeah. Poor Eric Stone.
His, what, 4 trillion you say the point
Billy
game?
Mitchell they wiped the scores out.
I know. It's insane.
I know. And then there was another score that showed up today. That was like a massive score that I think was from a Batman 66 game somewhere in Indiana or somewhere. Like that. No, like, yeah.
It wasn't me.
Oh, shocker. I'm sure. Yep. Have you tried to play it, Joel? Have you tried to put in your IC?
No, I have not. I should.
So you're not contributing at all.
I'm not helping. Indiana. I'm not going to pull that average down. I know Indiana's doing well, but no, honestly, if I have time to play pinball, I'm playing Pulp Fiction. This game is, I'm having a lot of fun.
Is that not Insider Connected?
No.
Do you have the profanity on?
I had it on during the stream, and then I've turned it off since the stream, just in case my kids come down and just hit start at some point. But it's great. What's really cool, though, is even with the profanity off, David Thiel, man, it's not like it's just rittered with beeps. Like, the way that he did the audio, there's certain callouts you don't even realize that he's edited out the profanities. Like, it's really well done. Like, really well done. I pulled up Nap Arcade real quick just to make sure we didn't forget anything. Tilt Bob Pinball is going to be, there's a video of that coming out soon, which is, this is that road trip game. I don't know if that'll be at Texas or not.
What are you talking about? I have no clue.
Tilt Bob I'm just Pinball? Like,
I'm so out of it.
It's the tilt, like, are you tilt, saying the mechanism Tilt yeah, Bob?
No,
or
that's their name. Tilt Bob Pinball is that's their name.
Oh, it's a company name.
It's a new company.
They're making a pinball machine?
And they're making a game based on Road Trip.
Based on Road Trip.
Yeah. This is...
Okay.
Yeah. That's a thing. Yeah. I was just trying to see if there was...
I was not aware of this.
Else we're missing. I think we're good. I think we've covered it all. Oh, Motorhead. Motorhead's pinball is coming. I know Brad... what's the guy? The artist's name. He did all the art in it. Brad Albright. Brad Albright. Did all the art for Motorhead. So that'll be another game to check out. But
nice.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I got.
Motorhead? Motorhead. I'm so lost right now.
Motorhead is a band.
And who's making that?
It's a homebrew by a New Zealand pinhead, David Peck.
Okay.
Dave Peck. But he got Brad Albright to do all the art. And he
was
David
Peck.
He was able to get spooky pinball coder Matt Kemp did the code on it, so that's supposed to be there, so that'll be fun. Other things to make sure you stand in line and play. You're writing that down, Tom, so you're ready to play it when you get there.
Does that convince you? Motorhead homebrew,
you know what's actually convinced him was Neil McRae.
I know it should.
Neil McRae definitely got my attention.
Oh, some of the best dinners is with Neil. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. I think we're good.
I think we're good. Hey, we still got 9 minutes left. We said we were going until 10:30. It's 10:21.
Well, maybe Tom's final words are it's going to be a monologue. You know, we don't know.
We haven't done a Tom Talks in forever.
I was going to say, Joel completely skipped over Pin Masters. So congratulations to Jason Zoller.
Is there any Pin Masters tournament talk?
No, you just like 180'd it.
I will say, Joel, Zoller had one of the most awesome finishes in recent memory for the way this Godzilla was set up, because it was set up very difficult, and he had to get a hole in one to win, which I think the target score was 150,000, and he did this after Escher, I believe, got a hole in one also, correct?
Oh, wow.
And Escher did it in style too, but this actually created one of the most hilarious screen caps I've ever had at a tournament, where while Zoller was playing, Escher came up behind and you could see him just peeking over the banner, like nothing but his eyes, just like peering and just watching Zoller play. But no, he did really well. It was exciting to see Jason pull out a victory right there, because I mean, it's like all four competitors are just world class. Yeah, it was insane. It was like Escher, who was it? Jared, Raymond.
Jared August, Raymond.
Yeah, and Zoller.
Nice.
It's crazy. Like, my God. Yeah,
I'll have to pull that up. Where do I see that? Where do I watch that stream? Is that available?
Fox City's Pinball.
Yes.
Fox City's Pinball. Perfect.
Okay. Tom Graff.
All right. Tom, you want to do Tom Talks? I can hit the button.
I thought I just did.
Tom Talks. He's got something to say. Tom Talks. He's got nothing to say. Tom Talks. Tom Talks.
I got nothing.
What Tom, are you gonna just ask overall, me? Just overall thoughts on the current state of pinball. Where's your head at? You happy with your collection? You know, just lay some truth on us.
Okay. Overall, pinball is good. Collection is good. Life's good. Streaming good. It's just good.
Tom talked. He had something to say. Tom talked. He had nothing to say. Tom talked. Tom talked.
I got nothing.
That was well said, Tom.
That was really, that was really put together. That was
tear
really,
to my eye.
I thought about that for at least 2 hours.
While he was touching his Ellie earlier and he's saying, talk amongst yourself. He was just thinking, man, things are really going good right now. Things are really, really going good. All right,
Joel, you ready to take us home?
Yeah, let's plug it up. Plug it up. Travis, plug away.
Yeah, you guys can find me here on Triple Drain Pinball Podcast right here on the TPN YouTube and TPN, I guess, audio stuff. You guys can also see me on... What's that?
TPN podcast thing? Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. With all the other awesome TPN podcasts that are out there. And then also you guys can see me at my actual job over on YouTube with the Pinball Company. And then this weekend, you guys can see me at the Texas Pinball Festival, hopefully making fun of Joel.
Mm.
And keep in mind, Barry Ausler did not design Taxi.
No. And if you do watch any of the Pinball Company's YouTube videos, make sure you wear headphones with both. Like, make sure you have both headphones.
That was one time.
He had a video, you know, that he forgot to put it in stereo, and the left speaker is the only thing that works. So, you know, if you're one of those people only rocking the right AirPod, that video is going to suck because you're not going to hear any of it.
Yeah. If your headphone on the right, you're going to be like, what is going on? Sorry about you.
Yeah.
Love it. Pay me the big bucks.
Yeah.
That's up everything.
Good luck with your performance review on that one. 2024 is the year I'd use both speakers. I promise. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ask Zach for your job. That's what I'm gonna have to do. I'm in trouble.
Tom, plug away, man.
When I'm not with these two idiots, I'm Triple Drain. You can find me at Fox City's Pinball.
Wonderful.
On Twitch and YouTube.
Yep, and check out the sweet merch on Silverball Swag, Fox City's merch. If anybody, we'd love to see some Triple Drain merch. People keep buying it, which is really cool, and we love that people are supporting us there. So
we'll sign
whatever you bring us. Yeah. Whatever you
lunch
bring
boxes,
us. Bring us a taxi manual. You know,
golf towels
and
naked lady tees.
Yeah,
whatever
Travis
you
will
want.
Write to Barry, and he'll to Barry Travis Murray on your taxi owner's manual. It'll be great.
One mistake,
and it's never going away.
Unbelievable.
Really, this is the only mistake you've made.
Okay. My name is Joel. I do the Flipping Out Pinball stream every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight. This week, actually, in 2 days, I'll be streaming Pulp Fiction again. And Josh Sharp, I've talked Josh Sharp into joining the stream, so he's going to tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong. And I know
Joel,
he won't hold back.
Joel, just
yes, I know. Just stop. Try.
Stop for a second.
Yes. Over and under, how many F-bombs?
All of them. The real question is, will there be more F-bombs from Josh or from the game? I don't know. So it's going to be a good time. If you're listening to this after the fact, check it out on YouTube, on the Flipping Out YouTube channel. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing everybody at TPF. And yeah, the song you're going to hear after Tom here is made by Glenn on their Saws homebrew. So enjoy that. But yeah, it's gonna be a great time. Please come say hi. And yeah, like always, Tom,
travel safe.
you get the last words.
Have fun at Texas Pinball Festival, everybody.